being in the Portland area to see, you know, what I can do, maybe some PR and marketing and some sort of, you know, something within the industry that can go alongside working with legislation and policies and trying to promote the change that I really, really want to focus on.
Now, any last thoughts for the listeners?
Yeah, I just want to say that, you know, going back to the response that I've had, it's been incredible. I mean, every day still I get messages from people who thank me for talking about this. And there are seriously just, I mean, if hundreds have reached out to me, I believe there are millions of Americans out there who are working, responsible, intelligent, great citizens who also are using cannabis in their free time and have to hide it and feel, you know, trapped almost in their usage. And it's just, it's not fair when it's something that's not harming anyone else and you know, that people should be able to do. And I'm really, really, really happy that I spoke out. And even though some people have been against it, if people have the opportunity to speak out, I promise that the support is overwhelming and it, you know, is totally worth it in the end. So more people should get out there and get out of the cannabis closet and talk about it.
Sid, I got to thank you so much for all your time. I've been speaking with Sid Maurer. She is a journalist and now a marijuana legalization advocate out of Eugene, Oregon.
Thank you so much.
This is Doug McVeigh with KBOO News. KBOO Community Radio is proud to present The Yes Men Are Revolting as part of the KBOO at the Clinton monthly film series. The Yes Men Are Revolting is a documentary directed by Andy Bickelbaum and Mike Bonanno, which follows the comedy troupe The Yes Men as they stage phony press releases and events to bring attention to environmental dangers and corporate greed. Again, that's The Yes Men Are Revolting, Thursday, August 13th at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Red Umbrella film series hosted by the Clinton Street Theater. This month, the film My Own Private Idaho will be shown Sunday, August 30th at 7 p.m. Directed by Gus Van Sant, My Own Private Idaho adapts Shakespeare's Henry IV story to friends and hustlers living on the streets of Portland. Again, that's My Own Private Idaho at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212. In Vancouver at 360-694-1234 or RadioCab.net.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit gaypdx.com.
Hey there, dear listeners. It's Boston, the engineer for this slot of queer public affair programming on KBOO. You're listening to 90.7, Portland, Oregon. And I'm sad to say, this is my last time engineering for this time slot, so had a great time. Up next, we have a program, brand new program called Prism. I'm very excited to share this with you guys. It's one of the new potential programs for this time slot that will be sharing the air with Alan Silver's Preference. Right now behind me, I have the song Silver by the Pixies as sort of a ritualistic call, a beckoning for Mr. Alan Silver to finally get to the station. Past the time it started. Up next we have the syndicated program Prism, and then Alan is going to conduct a beautiful interview. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Prism PDX, a weekly news magazine show featuring stories from the local, regional, national, and global LGBT community. I'm Bobby. Alleged victim in Terry Bean sex case disappears. Trial now in doubt. Couple behind shuttered Iowa wedding venue on a mission to put up 1,000 anti-gay marriage billboards. Norway proposes extending transgender rights to children. And will the new films Stonewall and Suffragette leave bisexual and transgender people out of history?
I'm Anna. Oregon senator defends LGBT civil rights. Teenager among six stabbed in Jerusalem Pride. And Arrow adds first African-American gay superhero.
I'm Jerry. The Portland, Oregon area has one of the highest LGBT populations in the country. There are a lot of LGBT veterans living in Oregon. More corporations support the Equality Act, and Jamaicans celebrate their first Pride Week. Bobby, what's happening on the local scene?
The prosecutor handling the sex crimes case against Terry Bean, a prominent gay activist, told a judge last week that his investigators have been unable to find the alleged victim in the case. Without the teenager's testimony, the case will have to be dismissed or the trial rescheduled. According to his attorney, the boy, now 17, does not want to testify at the trial. Meanwhile, the search for the boy goes on. Bean, 66, and his former boyfriend, Kaya Loy Lawson, 25, are accused of having sex with the then 15-year-old boy at a Eugene hotel in 2013. They are each charged with two counts of third-degree sodomy, a felony, and third-degree sexual abuse, a misdemeanor. They pleaded not guilty to the charges. Bean has been one of the state's biggest Democratic donors and an influential figure in gay rights circles in the state. He helped found two major national political groups, the Human Rights Campaign and the Gay and Lesbian Victory Fund, and has been a major contributor for several Democratic presidential candidates, including Barack Obama. The trial is scheduled to begin August 11th. In early July, Bean proposed a civil compromise that could have resulted in the dismissal of the criminal charges against him. Circuit Judge Charles Zinach denied the motion.
Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley has recently introduced a bill that would expand legal protections for the LGBT community under the Federal Civil Rights Act. Merkley stated, despite major advances in equality for LGBT Americans, including nationwide marriage equality, in the majority of states, an LGBT couple could be married in the morning and risk being fired from their jobs or evicted from their apartment in the afternoon. This bill would expand those protected in the Civil Rights Act to include sexual orientation and gender identity. It would ban discrimination based upon employment, education, finance, housing, jury selection, and public accommodations. Every person deserves to live free from fear of discrimination, regardless of who they are or whom they love, Merkley said. Merkley acknowledges that the bill would likely not get much traction, but his goal is to create support and momentum around ending discrimination in all forms.
According to the Human Rights Campaign, there are over 15,000 lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender military veterans living in Oregon. With this information, the Oregon legislature has passed a bill creating a dedicated LGBT coordinator for the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. This bill puts Oregon in alignment with the National VA and Veterans Health Administration directives that include support for veterans who identify as LGBT. In response, there have been recent statewide meetings with representatives of the healthcare networks and Veterans Affairs staff to inform healthcare providers of the need to be sensitive to the needs of LGBT veterans and resources. At one such meeting in Eugene, a medical support assistant, Tiffany Arnold, said she feels very strongly about the need for this. She indicated working the front desk at the clinic, she's in a unique position to intervene when there's an inappropriate speech or behavioral pattern related to LGBT patients. She indicated several times in the last few years she has had patients who were made to feel unwell. welcome by both staff and other patients.
In national news, the couple behind a defunct Grimes, Iowa wedding view that was once busted for discrimination against LGBT couples are taking their religious beliefs on the road in hopes of broadcasting them on 1,000 billboards. Betty and Richard Odegaard have raised the first cry in their rally against recently legalized marriage equality with a billboard in Durant, Oklahoma. Their efforts are being celebrated by presidential candidate Senator Ted Cruz as religious liberty ambassadors.
I'll tell you, Dick and Betty inspire me.
According to the couple's website, the Odegaards have funded at least one of their signs through donations for their new project, God's Original Design Ministry, to advance Christian teaching, biblical ordinances, and natural laws as God intended. The signs say marriage should only be between one man and one woman, with a call to action attributed to God. To date, the couple has only managed to raise about $500 for their anti-gay crusade. Their apparent loyalty to their beliefs already compelled them to shutter their one-stop wedding business. The Odegaards lost a complaint filed with the Iowa Civil Rights Commission by Lee Stafford and Jared Eller in 2013 after they refused to book the gay couple's wedding. A judge ordered the Odegaards to pay a $5,000 fine and to stop discriminating against same-sex couples.
It's unfortunate that we even have to have this conversation because this is one law that's trying to correct other laws that got us to this point.
There needs to be something in place to give us our liberties back because we have been stripped of free exercise of our religion, which is what our country was founded on, and so that's kind of impossible to believe, but it is.
I also understand the opposition to laws like this because they see it as an opportunity for people to discriminate at will, because there are idiots on both sides of this issue.
The owners skirted the order by taking their flower shop, bistro, and decades-old stone church out of the wedding business completely. Some LGBT activists are saying the Odegaards are a poster couple for the evangelical right. It's not clear if or when the Odegaards will put up additional signs for their cause. Jerry?
Four more major U.S. corporations have signed on to support the National Equality Act. The legislation will establish full equality for all LGBT Americans. The new corporate endorsers are IBM, Oracle, Orbitz, and Symantec. They join American Airlines, Apple, Dow Chemical, Facebook, General Mills, Google, Levi Strauss & Company, Microsoft, and Nike as national companies lending their support to the measure. In a statement from IBM, they said their company had been a leader in policies making non-discrimination based on sexual orientation, that their company started this 30 years ago and expanded the policy 12 years ago to include gender identity and expression. All of the 13 major companies have scored a perfect 100 on the Human Rights Campaign Corporate Equality Index, and were all on the HRC list of best places to work for 2015. Earlier this year, 120 prominent leaders in the tech industry called on legislatures across the country to add sexual orientation and gender identity as protected classes to the civil rights laws. An HRC survey earlier this year found that 63% of LGBT Americans have faced discrimination in their lives, reporting the workplace as the place where discrimination most frequently occurs. We'll be back with international news right after this.
Founded in 2013, the Portland GSA Youth Chorus is open to all LGBTQ and straight allied youth in the area. GSA is a safe and welcoming place for all youth ages 13 to 22 to unite for the love of music. GSA is looking for enthusiastic, talented, and diverse youth who want to join the team and spread the word. For more information, contact pdxyouthchorus@gmail.com. Check them out on Facebook, Portland's Gay Straight Alliance Youth Chorus.
Welcome back to Prism PDX, a weekly news magazine show featuring stories from the local, regional, national, and global LGBT community. I'm Bobby. And now in international news, transgender people in Norway will no longer have to undergo genital surgery and be sterilized when they change their legal gender under proposed legislation from the Norwegian government. If passed into law, the bill would make Norway one of the most progressive countries in the world when it comes to transgender rights by allowing children as young as 7 to assert their gender identity and have that reflected legally, provided their parents agree to it. Children over 16 will be allowed to change their legal gender without parental consent. However, while transgender children will be able to change their gender for legal purposes, they will not be allowed to undergo any kind of surgery related to sex change before they turn 18, nor will any surgery be compulsory once they become adults. Norway was an early pioneer in allowing people to change their legal gender, provided they were given psychiatric evaluation and underwent a full surgical sex change with sterilization. But the legal arrangements for transgender people had not been updated in 6 decades. As a result, Norway had found its treatment of transgender people lagging behind most of Western Europe.
Shortly after, Israel's prime minister called on his country to vigorously fight manifestations of hate. 16-year-old Shira Banky, a talented pianist, was fatally stabbed during a gay pride parade in Jerusalem. Banky was one of 6 people stabbed by Yishai Schlissel, an Orthodox Jew who was released from prison on earlier charges of stabbing marchers at a 2005 gay pride parade. Banky's family said in a statement, "Our charming, happy, lively, and beloved 16-year-old Shira was murdered just because she came to support her friends and any person's right to live their life their own way. With no purpose but with stupidity, evilness, and recklessness, her life came to an end." Banky's being seen as a symbol for the manifestations of hate that affect the LGBT community domestically and abroad. Jerry?
Also from the world LGBT news front, Jamaica has held its first gay pride celebration. The week-long festival included an art exhibit, performances by lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender poets and musicians, as well as a flash mob gathering at a neighborhood park. Jamaican gay rights activists said the peaceful nature of the festivities are a clear sign that tolerance for LGBT people is expanding on the island nation, even though there are still laws on the books that discriminate against sex between two men. For years, Jamaica's communities had to hold their events in secret locations. Most of the Caribbean countries previously followed a don't ask, don't tell policy to avoid government scrutiny and to protect their family and loved ones. The New York-based Human Rights Watch group reports LGBT people in Jamaica are still the targets of unchecked violence and are frequently refused housing or employment. This change has been noted recently as the Kingston's mayor and justice ministers both made public statements supporting the week-long pride activities. This is a major change from the island, where in 2008, the prime minister then, Bruce Golding, vowed to never allow gays in his cabinet. And now here's Tony with local sports.
For Rose City Softball, their summer season has wrapped. Fall ball registration is open at rosecitysoftball.org. Net Rivers, Portland's LGBTQ soccer club, is done for the summer, but they start back up in spring 2016. And finally, the Timbers are away in Salt Lake next weekend, but they get back home August 21st, taking on Houston Dynamo. I'm Tony, and that's sports.
Welcome back to Prism PDX, your source for local, regional, state, national, and global LGBT news and information. Now, here's our entertainment piece. Anna?
Arrow, a popular CW series that follows DC's Green Arrow, has cast Echo Killam as Mr. Terrific and announced that the show's version of the superhero will be gay. Mr. Terrific, also known as Michael Holt, is a wealthy Olympic decathlete who began fighting crime after his wife and unborn child died. Executive producer Greg Berlant told Out magazine last year that he plans to continue to explore various ways of introducing gay characters to this series, as well as to The Flash, which has also featured gay heroes as well as villains. The new season of Arrow premieres October 6 on the CW. Jerry?
Many of us know George Takei from the Star Trek series as Lieutenant Sulu, but his life is much more than that one story, and now one of our LGBT community elder statesmen is bringing his story to Broadway in an autobiographical musical called Allegiance, A Trek to Broadway. Takei's family was put into the internment camps during the Second World War, and the series follows his life from that point to today. He describes it as Survivor meets The Bachelor meets Shark Tank. The first of the 10-part series preceding the opening night of the show will be airing this week. The series is available on Takei's Facebook page, as well as additional information on the musical. The musical will open at the Long Acre Theater this November. Bobby?
Two upcoming films premiering at the Toronto International Film Festival are ones LGBT women should be excited about, but could end up as disappointments if the trailers are any indication of its lesbian and bi-less content. Stonewall, opening in theaters in September, and Suffragette, following closely in October, have both been highly anticipated stories of historic moments in civil rights. Stonewall stars Jeremy Irvine as Danny, a fictional young man caught up during the 1969 Stonewall riots. And while the description of the film notes that the entire community of young gays, lesbians, and drag queens who populate the Stonewall Inn erupts in a storm of anger, hardly a woman is seen in the newly released trailer. According to IMDb, the movie does not seem to have a role for Storm de la Verie, who is known as the butch lesbian who threw the first punch at the police during the riot. Nor is there one for bisexual activist Brenda Howard, who organized the first ever pride parade following the events that took place at the Stonewall Inn. The film Suffragette stars Meryl Streep as the very real Emmeline Pankhurst, a British activist leader who fought for the women's right to vote in Britain during the early 1900s. The film co-stars Carey Mulligan as Maud, a working wife and mother whose life is forever changed when she is secretly recruited to join the UK's growing suffragette movement. Suffragette is helmed by four women: Abby Morgan, who starred in the film The Iron Lady, and Sarah Gavron served as director, with Alison Owen and Faye Ward as producers. Stonewall opens September 25th, and Suffragette is set to premiere October 23rd.
Our news story contributors today include The Guardian, The Windy City Times, The Eugene Weekly, Out Magazine,
Gay Star News, and WorldNet Daily,
Classical Light, Advocate, and Courthouse News.
This is Prism PDX. I am Bobby, and now from our LGBT music playlist, Years and Years. Years and Years are a British electronica band founded in London. The band consists of frontman and keyboardist Ollie Alexander, bassist Mikey Goldsworth, and synth player Emery Turkman. Years and Years' music has been described as electropop, mixing R&B and 90s house elements, with Flying Lotus, Diplo, Radiohead, and Jai Paul being their core influences. Their single King reached number one on the UK singles chart, while their latest single Shine reached number two. The band formed in 2010 after Goldsworthy moved to London from Australia and met Turkman online. Shortly afterwards, Alexander joined the band as lead vocalist after Goldsworthy heard him singing in the shower. The band was originally a five-piece group with Noel Lehman and Olivier Sabria. Lehman left the band in 2013. From their current album Why and Why, which was released back in February, this is Years and Years with Shine.
Alone, waiting for the light to go. Don't you feel that hunger? I've got so many secrets to show. When I saw you on that stage, I shivered with the look you gave. Don't you hear that rhythm? Can you show me how we can escape?
Don't leave.
been listening to Prism PDX, a locally produced LGBT news and information show produced from the studios of KPQR 99.1 FM Wild Planet Radio in Portland, Oregon. Find out more about Wild Planet Radio at wildplanetradio.com. Thanks for listening to Prism PDX.
Welcome to Preference, an experiment in queer radio. Tonight, I am your host, Alan Silber. That was Prism PDX, a new show we're trying out. I hope you liked it. Give us a call and let us know how you felt about Prism PDX. We want to know. In the booth, keeping us on the air, is Boston. Boston, I want to thank you for all of your work over the years.
You're welcome.
You have kept us on the air, kept our nuts and bolts where they need to be so that we can do this show and the others in this time slot. This is Boston's last evening, so thank you. I have in the studio today Stacy Rice and Justin Pabalotti. They are the co-executive directors of Q Center, Portland's Queer Community Center. Welcome, Justin and Stacy.
Thank you, Alan.
Thanks for having us.
We're happy to be here.
Good. Why don't you introduce yourself? Justin, tell us a little bit about who you are.
Yeah, my name is Justin Pabalotti. I'm the co-executive co-director. I work on development and community relations. I come from Basic Rights Oregon, was my previous job, and I worked in fundraising there and with those great folks. I have a heart for service, and I love nonprofits, and I'm from California, unfortunately, for some. Should I say that? I'm from Eureka, California, and I've been loving Oregon. I've been here about 3 years.
Stacy?
Well, yes, I'm up from the opposite end of the country from Justin, actually. I from North Carolina, moved to Portland 3.5 years ago. Had visited Portland and did the typical Portland thing with visitors. 2 days in, I said, oh goodness, I'm moving to Portland, Oregon. And so 6 months later, I did. I started volunteering at Q Center right away. One of the things I love about Justin's and mine story is that we both started as volunteers at Q Center, really at the same time, mm-hmm. and it's so lovely. And so got a job there a few months later, and I've been there a little bit over 3 years. I'm the co-executive director in charge of programs and operations at Q Center, and feel a tremendous amount of passion for the work that we do at Q Center. It is lovely to see really how Q Center has changed lives and how people, even in Portland, as progressive a place as it is, we really still need a place like Q Center so people can be there and have a place to come out if they need to, actually. So, yeah, we're happy to be there.
Indeed. Thanks, Stacy. Mm-hmm. I want to start by chipping off the hard part, I think, of our conversation today, which is that people are talking about what happened last week at Q Center. People have been talking to me, trying to find out what happened last week. So it's out in the air. People are unsettled by it. So,
well, yes, and we're glad to be able to be here tonight. I mean, we'd planned this interview a couple of weeks ago, I guess, and it's very timely, I think, that we could be here tonight to talk about what happened. Such a very unfortunate event. Luckily, our hearts go out to the young man who was injured Friday night during the party. Our thoughts and prayers do go out to him. This was a rental. It was a private party, a dance party. For those who know Q Center may know that we actually do rent space and have since we've been on Mississippi, at least, North Mississippi Avenue. So far this year, we've had like over 80 rentals of our space. It can be anywhere from, you know, companies that rent space. It can be individuals. It can be agencies for retreats, meetings, those kind of things. We had a lovely family reach out to us to want to have a welcome back party and then a going away party too for their cousin who was living in Texas. This beautiful young soul who's be a senior this coming year in high school. wanted to have a party where he could see all his friends and they could dance and have a wonderful time. And so they had, 2 weeks ago, they had an initial party when he first got here, and that party went wonderful and fine. The second party, which happened this past Friday night, unfortunately, there was an incident. It was very, it was heartbreaking to see that these all teenage kids, and they were just having such an amazing, lovely time. And it really got disrupted by what happened. There was a fight that broke out, and then there were gunshots that followed after that. There were precautions that were taken. There were security at the door that was actually patting people down and wanding people as they came in as well. But unfortunately, and as the police have told us, you know, if someone wants to get a gun in a place, they can usually do that. And so, so this tragedy occurred. You know, all of us feel very fortunate that it was any worse than it really was. It could have been a lot worse, actually. So we're trying to try to figure out what the next steps are. We've had conversations, lots of conversations with the Portland Police Bureau, with the commander of the North Precinct, his lieutenant. We've had some of the chiefs in the police department reaching out and meeting with us as well, too. We had the mayor's office very involved with meeting with us and trying to work through this and try to find a different and a better way that we might could move forward in the future, actually.
Thanks for giving us that info.
Yes.
I hope things work out well for all those youths who were involved.
Well, we're very committed that our space is open to everyone. And we've made that one of our prime things that we're doing as new executive co-directors at Q Center is that we want this space to be open to everyone, that people can feel like they can come to our space. And we're going to keep working on making that happen, and we're not going to let that go, because it's an important thing that we have every one of our community feel like they're welcome at Q Center, whether they're LGBTQ or not. They need to feel welcome at Q Center, and so we're going to keep working on that.
Yeah, I think that bringing people together is an opportunity for us to build that community and build those relations, and you know, it's an acknowledgement of. That Q Center is in a gentrified neighborhood, and that we, this is, you know, we're a community partner to all of Portland. And this is the role that we play as leaders, is that we need to see the opportunity in this. And that's why we're very fortunate to have the director of youth violence prevention as a previous interim board chair recently. Her name's Antoinette Edwards. And she immediately came the very next morning and was instrumental in setting up. We've had four meetings, I believe, so far with different agencies. We've had, an environmental assessment already of our space just today. So we're taking the safety of the issue very seriously, and we're being proactive in being a community partner and finding the silver lining and what the next steps are, who we can partner with community-wise, PPB-wise, and going from there, not dropping this and not, relying on privileges to that we can just shunt this away, but really engaging further with our community and our allies.
Are there concerns that allying too closely with the police bureau is problematic for folks who want to participate in Q Center activities or use the space?
Yeah, and we're that's part of every conversation. That's every planning conversation, how the police show up, whether they stay, how they respond to previous calls. So. We're being very mindful of that, and it's not a simple issue, and so that's why we're having so many different meetings with so many different people, and we're really relying on the leadership of our neighbors, our supporters, our community partners, and trying to address exactly that. So yeah, it is complicated.
This is all part of a story that you're here to tell about where the Q Center is at in the community right now. But let's rewind a little bit back to late last year and where the Q Center was at then.
Well, I remember it very well.
Stacy gets to tell all the fun stories today.
Yes, I mean, wow. Yes, the end of last year, in December, we found ourselves within about 2 weeks of closing. It was, as staff, we knew things were bad. We could kind of see how things were happening and what was going on. We didn't realize quite how bad, I guess, it really was. But we were truly within 2 weeks of closing. We had almost no money in the bank. We had 10 staff people at that time. And it really, and it wasn't like a sudden process. This was something that happened over a good while. We had just a terribly poor leadership, actually, at Q Center. And that went to every level of leadership, executive director, the board as well, too. There was decisions that were made, you know, adding programs, you know, without having funding for it. Making certain parts of the community feel like they were not welcome at Q Center. And there's so many other things. I mean, I could go on for maybe a whole time, actually, about that. But what happened is that all of a sudden the donations just started drop. They dropped off the cliff last year, and it was just unsustainable. So here we found ourselves, that we were in this situation. We had a lovely, you know, I had a dear friend that told me sometimes things do have to burn all the way down to the ground before you can rebuild them in a lot better way. And that's what's happened here, I think, is that we were down all the way, burn all the way down to the ground, but we had a lovely infusion of support from Basic Rights Oregon, a cash donation that actually they gave Q Center that actually got us through the first 2 months, since we had maybe less than $1,000 in the bank. We had an interim board. That's our previous board resign, our executive director resign, and we had an interim board step up with Antoinette Edwards, we just mentioned, who started leading that. Those folks, we have to give them so much credit. They met every week for 3 to 5 hours up until just about a month ago, trying to save Q Center. We reached out to the community. We had a couple of town halls where people could come and share their experience at Q Center, whether it was good, bad, or, you know, in between. The lovely thing, we had over 100 people that showed up at each one of those town halls. We did like a big survey as well, too. The lovely thing about it is that we've found out through all that really how important Q Center is to the lives of the LGBTQ community here in Portland. And so it's that point in time, that was February, I thought we might make it then, because I could see it was such an important place in so many people's lives. We just kept working. We kept digging, kind of trying to get it all pulled back together. And, you know, and here we are, you know, 7 months later. We have money in the bank. Justin came on board back in the middle of June as my executive co-director. We've really turned the corner, but it's due to all the amazing help and support we've had. And it's not just all monetarily, non-monetary support either. It's people have stepped up to volunteer on committees that we have. We have a communications committee, a fundraising committee. People have stepped up to really help us that way. We're down to 2.65 staff at Q Center now. So we have all this amazing help around us to just help us rebuild Q Center in a lot better way. And I think we're both really, really excited and jazzed about what has happened and what the potential is, and we're going to keep digging.
Wonderful. Did Q Center put the building up for sale? Is that what I understood?
Yes, actually, we did. It's another one of those wonderful blessings that has come to Q Center since everything kind of fell apart end of last year. We have an amazing long-term donor to Q Center who has the most amazing heart and soul, and wanted to help in some way us get back on our feet again, even though he had been treated, and this is really, I would say it very bluntly, really horribly by folks in the past at Q Center. It was heartbreaking to hear the stories that he would tell about this. So he stepped up and said that he would be willing to buy the building. He has no other real estate at all, but he has such a soft spot for Q Center, and with a fund that he's actually connected with, to Ed Caduro Fund, with Oregon Community Foundation. Ed was an amazing man who was an incredible supporter of Q Center, and Dane knew Ed very well, and they kind of helped Q Center get started. So Dane offered to buy the building. He actually said that what he would do would be to lease it back to us for 2 years. One of the lovely things about being on Mississippi is the fact that real estate has increased exponentially on Mississippi Avenue. So in the 2 years that we've had the property, we've gained enough equity that we could actually pay off all our debts, have a cash cushion moving forward, and have a lower rent than what our mortgage payment was. And so it's an amazing, wonderful, wonderful gift that we've been giving with this. And we have a lease for 2 years.
Wonderful. Can you give us a sense of what people did have to say at the town halls and through the surveys conducted earlier this year about folks' experiences and desires concerning Hugh Center?
Yes, let me start off with a negative, I think, actually, about the fact that there were certain parts of the community who did not feel like they were welcome at Hugh Center. People of color, the trans community. There was a lot of discussion and a lot of feedback about the fact that there was administration, the staff, was not responsive to people and their needs and their wants. And there were lots of stories about how terribly people had been treated. I mean, it was painful to hear. I mean, to be honest with you. On the other side, on the plus side, of course, like I said earlier, is that, you know, we were told stories. I mean, and several people, how actually Q Center had saved their lives, that they had a place to go and to find community. It was a wonderful, we got wonderful responses, especially in the survey, about what the direction they wanted Q Center to go into. And we're still kind of working on processing all of that and trying to incorporate that into our plans as we move forward. We have a strategic plan and retreat this coming weekend to kind of look at those things too. So it was a very much needed community process, actually, to get the feedback. And so, I mean, this is a community center. It wasn't being honored as one, actually, I don't think. And so it was important that we hear from the community what they want and need out of Q Center and out of the staff that's there. And we got that. And we're going to continue moving forward.
Wonderful. You are listening to Preference, a Queer Experiment in Radio here on KBOO. If you want to find us on Facebook, Preference Radio. Thank you. We're here with Stacey Rice and Justin Pobolotti, co-executive directors or executive co-directors.
We switch back and forth too.
at Portland's Q Center on Mississippi Avenue. Bringing it closer to today, let's talk about what kind of programming Q Center offers right now.
Yeah, so right now we have our ERA program. It's Encouraging Respect for Aging. And Susan Cosin is the manager of our senior program. And it's a wonderful community of LGBTQ seniors who meet for all different various types of activities, from chair yoga to Meals on Wheels to writing groups. And then we also have our affinity groups who meet at Q Center. I think right now there's about 30 that are active. And those are support groups, interest groups, from like gamers to trans women meeting groups. And then we have, and the other part of our programming is that we're looking to the community's input from the surveys that happened in the town halls and the community conversations to determine what's next, if we can add anything. And so we have our strategic planning meeting with the board and staff this Saturday, I think. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be talking more about where we want to be, where we need to be, where the community has identified additional needs and what we're doing well. But that's basically it in a nutshell. And then we also do, you know, host coalition members and community organizations during the day and for different retreats and like Latino Pride and Use Our Space and other groups like that.
When you say coalition members, what do you mean?
So I'm thinking like PFLAG, Portland Black Chapter, sometimes they need our space, CIO, Center for Intercultural Organizing, Basic Rights Oregon has come by. Yeah. Just other nonprofits that we work closely with throughout the year. Yeah.
CARE Center also is a library. Mm-hmm. It reflects what people were donating at a certain number of years ago. So it's perhaps not the most current library, but it's got some pretty interesting stuff. I checked a movie out years ago, and one of these days I'll watch it and return it.
Let me make a note of this. Yeah.
The late fee is only $3,000.
Thank you for funding our next month of programs. Thank you.
Clear who it belongs. So you also have a gallery. We had Jason Ingram in the studio last week.
Oh, yes, yes.
To talk about They Call It Mercy. So do you want to tell us about that?
Sure. Well, we're featuring Jason's artwork. The gallery is this wonderful program. One of our longtime volunteers actually curates the gallery for us. Her name's Cindy. Cindy's wonderful. And every month we have a different artist, and they have different mediums. So Cindy's lined up artists all throughout until the end of the year, and Jason's our current one right now.
And he has a performance Thursday, is that right?
That's correct, yes. Yeah, gallery opening and performance is Thursday, and we'd welcome everyone to come see his work, which is just amazing and lovely. And he's such a lovely soul as well, too. So, yes. Yeah, and he was telling me that he had just had a conversation, yes.
And it looks like CARE Center is hosting the launching of the U.S. Trans Survey August 19th, is that Friday? Is that Friday? No, next Tuesday.
Maybe. Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
It's in the middle of the week. Let me look real quick.
Can you tell us about this?
Oh, sure. Would love to, actually. As someone who participated, because I identify as a trans woman, and someone who participated in the first survey about 3 years ago, it's an incredibly important thing for the trans community to take part of. I have used that data out of that older survey so many times in speaking to groups and different things that I need to do or write about or whatever. It actually gives a wonderful snapshot of who the trans community is. It covers everything from housing to discrimination to, you know, have you ever considered suicide, which is just appalling numbers, 41%. Of trans folks who replied to the survey 3 years ago actually had thought about suicide and maybe even tried it. So what we're wanting to do, we only had 100 Oregonians actually that participated, trans Oregonians that participated in the survey last time. So we're working in conjunction with Basic Rights and lots of other groups within
PFLAG mm-hmm. and Pride Foundation and Transactive and statewide organizations as well.
Yeah, to really kick this off and to have, we're going to have like a kind of a survey party at CARE Center on that date in August for people to come and actually take part in the survey. And we're going to try to really, for sure, get past that 100. So it's such an important thing to do.
Wonderful. And that's Wednesday, August 19th.
Yes.
We made sure of that. starting at 6 p.m. So come have refreshments, hang out, and fill out the U.S. Trans Survey. Come and do that.
Yes.
What else is coming up?
Oh gosh, we got
we
got lots of good things happening.
Yeah, can I back up real quick? Yeah. There's a couple people we want to thank that sometimes get left out of our story, and they were very instrumental in the transition over the from last year to this year, and it's Leora Coleman and Stephanie Hooper, who really stepped up. They were on the previous board, I believe, mm-hmm. and really made that transition very smooth for everyone, and did a lot of in-kind work to make sure that we had a solid foundation. But I just want to make sure that they get their due recognition, because we're grateful to them. But coming up, one of the nice things that Stacey and I have been talking about is, with all the intentionality that the board, Stacey, Susan, myself, other past board members have been putting into the community and making sure that the Q Center is on the right path and getting the input that we need, it's almost like the universe is speaking. Whenever we talk about what would make the building look nicer, for instance, like, oh, it's kind of a drab brown, and oh, wouldn't a mural be nice? And then the next week a friend comes by and how have you thought about a mural? And we're like, yeah, we have. Like, well, that would make it look a lot nicer. And then the next day on Facebook, a friend from Portland PFLAG Black Chapter says, hey, have you thought about a Facebook? Yeah, we have. Well, Vox Iron is looking for a wall space, and they've got the grant lined up and the artists lined up, and they want to talk to you. And so we've had that conversation. And there's instance after instance that has manifested almost. And it's not just manifestation. It's a very intentional effort that's been put in by everyone. But there's many things that are coming up that we're trying to, we want to create some filters at this retreat to make sure that we're staying on mission and staying on need and not just doing everything that sounds fun. What can you think of anything?
Yeah, out on the square.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's coming up. September 27th, it used to be Gay Fair on the Square. We're doing it this year, and we wanted to make it more inclusive, so we coined it as Out on the Square. If it's a chance for newly out folks or people new to Portland or Oregon to come see their community resources, have some food, beverages, and entertainment. And that's if you're a nonprofit and want to have a booth, you can email me at justin@pdxqcenter.org, and I'll get you set up with that page. But that should be really fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, that's well, yes. And we've got, we're looking for one of the lovely things that's kind of happened at Q is that since we are down to such a little staff, is that we've had a lot of community folks step up and say, hey, I'd like to have a certain kind of fundraiser for Q Center. We had the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence actually offered to do a bingo night for us, and which was lovely. And as you know, the Sisters are always quite a hoot and a lot of fun, and they raised a ton of money for Q Center that night. So we welcome anyone who maybe even outside of being a fundraiser, if you've got an idea for an event or a thing that you'd like to happen at Q Center, even like an affinity group, that's how most all of our affinity groups have started, is that somebody has come to Q Center and said, hey, just recently, we had one of our volunteers say, hey, you don't have a game night anymore for LGBTQ folks. Let me start one. So we're always looking for that, for those ideas and those things to come. We'd be happy to provide you with the support and the logistics and the building, of course, to kind of make those things happen. So yeah, we're always getting lovely things almost every week that people are wanting to do at Q Center. The best way to keep track of us and with us, actually, is on our Facebook page. Please like us on there. We have lovely over 34,000 followers on our Facebook page. And so Natalia K. O'Brien does our Facebook, and she does an amazing job of keeping that going and up to date and letting people know everything that's happening. Please sign up for our e-newsletter. You can do that by going to our website, and you'll see on the very front page, the front web page, that a place where you can sign up for our e-newsletter. We send that send that out every 2 weeks. Those are the two best ways, because there's so many things that are always happening and getting started at Q Center, and they happen, you know, sometimes at the last minute or sometimes, but then there's other times it's planned out further. But that's a perfect way to keep track of everything that's happening.
And I want to remind folks, Q Center is on Mississippi Avenue, 4115 North Mississippi. Folks can drop in and chat. Is that true?
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, we are open 7 days a week, and we're open till 9 o'clock Monday through Friday, and then the same time up till 9 on Sunday, open till 6 on Saturday. Yes, we are really a lovely, true community center. If you just want to come hang out with us for the day, we'd love that, actually. We might find some work for you today to get there. But yes, we have computers in our space in our wonderful library that people can use. We have people that just come by just to have maybe a meeting with someone else for the day. They can do that there at Q Center as well too.
We have Wi-Fi. People use their laptops a lot and just hang out in the library or the gallery.
Yes.
Yeah, fabulous. I'm actually going to do that this Thursday before Jason's reception. A friend of mine wants to learn hand clapping games, so we're going to bring down our computers and do it at the Q Center.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, thank you for that. Yeah. Thank you.
Let's see. So I think we've brought it up to date, and I think that's pretty great. I want to thank each of you for being here.
Oh, thank you. Well, thank you so much for having us. Yeah. We really appreciate it. We're very, you know, we've had this unfortunate thing just recently to have to deal with for so many people, but we're really, really excited about the future and about where Q Center can be and how it can be in a bigger and better part of this community. And we're going to work our hardest and continue to do that to make that happen.
Wonderful. Last thoughts from you, Justin?
I think it's important that people know that we, one of our new approaches is to lead by following. There's so many great resources and community partners that are doing good work already. And, you know, when we look at our strengths, it's to our space and to facilitate those great leaders. And we want to have some humility around, you know, following the experts in whatever field we're talking about. I think it's really important that people know that we're here to collaborate, we're here to listen, and we want to, you know, have deeper relationships than we have in the past.
In just a moment, we're going to hear a last track, Boston's Choice. Justin, Stacy, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're definitely excited to see what happens at the Q Center next. It's August, so we're in the middle of yet another hot week, but it's time to start thinking about autumn, which means it's time to start thinking about Thriller World Portland and whether you're going to come out and dance with us. Mm-hmm. This is our 9th year doing Thriller World Portland. It's also the 9th year that it's happened around the world. It's a worldwide simultaneous thriller dance, crazy as that sounds. And we do pretty well. We get about 175 folks a year on average. So it's a pretty big fun thing. So we'll teach you the dance if you want. You can learn it online or you can come to our classes. And we do this, we've done this every year as a fundraiser for SMRC, Portland's Sexual Minority Youth Resource Center, which is actually what keeps me coming back every year to do it, to organize it and put it on, because it's about a month's worth of solid work. But I'm super happy to do it. And we can teach you the dance. We can teach everybody the dance. We have folks of all ages, from, folks who are, you know, sort of getting the hang of walking, but dancing seems exciting to them. To this past year, we had folks from a retirement community, so we had dancers in their 80s, and folks of all abilities. Everyone is welcome. We do it in a public park. Most years we do it at Irving Park and a covered basketball court. And everyone's welcome to come join. Find us on Facebook, Thriller World Portland, or email me to ttwpdx@gmail.com, and we'll get you set up with practices and other information on the event. That'll be October 24th, the Saturday before Halloween. Thanks so much, Stacy and Justin.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us. We're very happy to be here.
You've been listening to Preference. Coming up is Hard Knock Radio, Boston. We're in your hands.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, also heard on the web at www.kbu.fm. The time is 7 o'clock. Stay tuned for Hard Knock Radio coming up next.